Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 168, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Before thee, Lord, a people waits to praise thy name in Zion's gates. To thee shall vows be paid. Thou hearest all the suppliant's prayer and what follows. Psalter 168, the first three stanzas. Thank you. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in number 16, the verses 31 through 50. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Number 16, beginning with verse 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder and there, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers, wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that he may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. And now they that died in the plague were 14,000, and 700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee in thy goodness that we may come up to thy courts for the second time on this holy day of rest. The day already is far spent, but oh, may it please thee to abide with us, and may there have come up souls that in a little way have resembled those travelers to Emmaus, that have earnestly begged of thee, constrained, that thou would richly abide with us. We have heard solemn things out of thy word, but then Aaron, he has stood between the dead and the living. Lord, may it please thee to look down upon us, poor sinners, us and our children, and the Son of thine eternal love. Oh, impress it upon all of our hearts, everything that we are more than a poor sinner, a needy sinner, that we are too much. But, oh Lord, by thy grace, we need to be the poor sinner that may be saved by thee, the work of a triune God. And to that end, we humbly beg of thee, our Lord, do bless thy word in this evening hour, that it may be an unforgettable service. We humbly ask thee that the number of those that may fear thee, that number may be increased. There are still so many among young and old that do not fear thee, not with that childlike faith, but may thy word be blessed to that end in this evening hour. And we humbly ask thee, wilt thou multiply the faith, the hope, the love, the repentance, the humility, the dependency, and the trust of those that may be given to fear thee. It is all a gift that is wrought by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, do pour out thy Spirit in a richer measure, and that there may be a people who may continually need thy dear Son as that precious mediator, as prophet, to be instructed continually, because thou hast a people that experience that they are so ignorant concerning heavenly ways. Oh, to need thee as that great high priest to make atonement for their sins, but also as their king who may reign over them in that warfare against that triple-headed enemy, and that warfare shall never cease upon this earth. And, O Lord, thou knowest that there are those times that they can become so weary of that warfare, but may they be given to look to the King who has declared, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. To that end, Lord, bless thy holy word in the church on the Sabbath day during the week. Bless thy holy word in the family circles, and bless thy holy word in our Christian school. Wilt thou remember and help all those that labor therein. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. All thy servants, remember the student, elders, deacons, all the sowers of the word. Wilt thou remember those who were called to translate, who may translate thy holy word into other languages. Oh, give them that awe and that reverence, an impression that they are dealing with thy holy word. Wilt thou remember all the distributors, many difficulties and impossibilities, but may it be experienced that thou maketh a way when from human side it seems that there is no way. Lord, in this day, in so many countries, thy church could not gather freely. They could not go to a place of worship. They had to dwell alone with their families or in secret places. Many fears cannot be different. Many gatherings have been disturbed, disrupted. Many have been captured, others perhaps slain. It is all known unto thee. Remember all those in prison, those that are tortured for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Oh, wilt thou grant them strength to endure, and may their eyes be upon thee. We commend unto thee our mission field. A week that lies behind us, there was much rest, unrest, much turmoil. It has ceased. Wilt thou remember also in this week and bring our administrator safely home. Do bless thy holy word. Remember thy servants. Remember the team. We remember the Jewish nation. Oh, may it please thee that the time may hasten, that the veil may be removed. Oh, that they may be given not only in the way of understanding, but in the way of experience by the work of thy Spirit, to be given to experience that the promised Messiah has come. Oh, that for that nation the time may come, that the trumpet of Jubilee may be blown for them. Lord, it is all in thy hands. And when we consider all those matters, then what a privilege and what a blessed people we are. But, oh Lord, our responsibility only becomes the greater, and to that end, oh, do work mightily, lovingly, by thy Holy Spirit, in the hearts of young and old, in this dark, this serious, this solemn time. May it please thee to pour out thy Holy Spirit in a richer measure. Remember the nations of the earth. Ah, Lord, continue to remember that nation where there is war, where there is so much death, so much suffering, so much want. Also, as the winter has come upon them, may the prayers be multiplied, and may it be used for the coming of thy kingdom. And, O Lord, what maketh our country to differ, where we have departed so far from thy word and from thy law, where the unborn continue to be murdered, the Sabbath day desecrated, the seventh commandment trampled upon, and, O Lord, who takes it to heart, who perceives it, and where is that godly sorrow found? Oh, may we be more grieved as we read of the weeping prophet, that he was given to weep by day and by night for a condition of his country, and for the approaching judgments. We commend unto thee our leaders federally, provincially. Ah, wilt thou convert them? For thee there is nothing impossible. And when that may take place, thou hast given the example in the scriptures of a Manasseh when he was given to see that thou wert God. Ah, when he was given to return, then he has tried to undo what he has done. Lord, remember the many needs amongst us. Do remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Do remember all of our elderly ones. Remember a father who hopes to become 80 to reach the age of the strong. Thou knowest the weakness of his heart. Thou hopest to grant him another birthday in this week. Ah, Lord, wilt thou grant by thy grace that he may be troubled not only with a weak heart, but with a sinful heart, with a prayer unto thee, the living God, a heart that needs to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Remember our care home with all those that may care for them during the daytime and during the night watches. Remember all under the physician's care. Remember all the sick relatives, the different circumstances are known unto thee. May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Remember the handicapped ones. Remember the family circles, O Lord. May thy word have authority and may love abound in a dark and evil time. Word is written in thy word that at the latter days, because iniquity shall abound, that the love of many shall wax cold. Oh, what a privilege and what a blessing in this dark and sinking world when love may still abound in our homes. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help. Thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee. Oh, anoint us with fresh oil from above, do grant a few words to speak. How wilt thou grant that there may be a little milk for the little ones, stronger meat for those that have been led a little further, and a heart full of love and compassion for the unconverted. Remember the hearers. Take everything that could be a hindrance, the cares of the time, the many worries. Wilt thou bind this Satan and our Lord also in this evening hour? Then we have to confess that we have nothing to bring before thee, nothing to plead upon, but may we be given to plead upon thy great mercy. Thou hast exhorted thy church, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Lord, magnify thy wonderful works and thy great name in the midst of us and our children. Forgive us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 198, the first five stanzas. O God, be thy anointed Son with truth and righteousness endowed, and thy justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud. And what follows, Psalter 198, the first five stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 6, the question and answer 16 through 19. Question 16, why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Answer, because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin. And one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Question 17, why must the in one person be also very God? Answer, that he might, by the power of his Godhead, sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. Question 18, who then is that mediator who is in one person both very God and a real righteous man? Answer, our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Question 19, whence knowest thou this? Answer, from the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly, has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. Lord's Day number 6 speaks of the glorious proclamation of the mediator with 4 thoughts. In the first place, the mission of the mediator. Secondly, the requisites of the mediator. Thirdly, the naming of the mediator. And in the fourth place, the gospel of the mediator. The glorious proclamation of the mediator. The mission, the requisites, the naming, and the gospel of the mediator. Thus first, the mission of the mediator. Beloved congregation, we have heard in the last Lord's Day that all hope from man's side, that is cut off to be enabled to save ourselves. Then we have heard that satisfaction needs to be made, a satisfaction by us or by another. And then the instructors have clearly laid out that it is impossible from man's side. But then there was asked, we have heard last time the dawning of the day. Maybe, boys and girls, you can remember the text, Malachi 4, verse 2. Unto you who feared my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Then a hope has been given in another. Then in the morning, then in the east, then we are given to see that the sky is starting to light, and that tells us that another day is coming. Then we have heard in the last Lord's Day, as I read in Hosea 2 verse 15, some hope in the valley of Achor. But now on this Lord's Day, then the sun may be given to arise in its beauty and in its glory. Then this Lord's Day declares the pearl of great price, as we read in Matthew 13, the verses 45 and 46. And then Lord's Day number 6, the first questions. Then they refer to the last question of Lord's Day 5. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Are we seeking, congregation, boys and girls? Have you begun to seek the Lord? And how do we seek the Lord? That is reading our Bible and praying much to the Lord. The Lord has commanded, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Young people, have you begun to seek the Lord? He is so worthy to be sought. Such a blessed service is even promised. Those that seek me early, they shall find me. What do those true seekers experience? That they cannot seek the Lord as they ought, and that also their seeking is polluted with sin. But when the Lord works, then we know that we are seeking the Lord. An impression that we shall never become happy, truly happy and blessed with the things of the world, and that we need the tender fear of the Lord, older ones. Have we begun already to seek the Lord? Does the question ever cross our mind? When shall it now be? Under so many callings, so many privileges, so many blessings, that the gospel of the trumpet may sound each time by renewal, the admonitions to flee and hasten for our life's sake. May the prayers be multiplied for us and our children, for the loving and the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Then we must speak. Boys and girls, what is now a mediator? That is one that stands in between two parties that are fighting with one another. Oh, boys and girls, you do not do that in the family circles. Maybe little squabbles, that it is also necessary that father and mother intervene to be a sort of a mediator, to ask what the difficulty is. A mediator, one, two parties that are at variance, far apart, and one that comes in between, speaks with the one, speaks with the other, and that tries to bring them together. Have many examples in the Bible. We read out of Number 16, a very solemn chapter, when the Lord has sent judgments upon different ones, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And then the next day, what an evil people, they said to Moses and Aaron, would make enough to be discouraged and to give it up. For Moses and Aaron to say, Lord, we resign, because this people, under so many callings and under so many blessings, and they have seen that the earth has opened and that many have dropped into the earth with their tents and everything. And now that people, they are saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. Thus they were saying that those wicked people, they were people of the Lord. They were not so bad. And then we know that the Lord has sent a plague. That plague has went through the people. And then Moses has commanded Aaron to take incense in a censer. And then Aaron has hasted. And then he has stood between the dead and the living. He has stood between the dead and the Lord as a mediator. And the plague was stopped. We have more examples. Think of Judah. When they have went to Pharaoh the second time, then Judah was a mediator between the brothers and between Joseph. Oh, think of Moses in Exodus 32. After they have made the golden calf, then Moses has went up to the mount, and then he has interceded on behalf of that people. Thus a mediator, and in our Lord's day, boys and girls, who are the two parties? That is a holy and a righteous God who must punish each of our sins. And on the other side, it is a guilty, a hell-worthy sinner that is not a penny to pay. And now in our Lord's day, then there is spoken of that precious mediator who would be a mediator between those two parties and who would reconcile the two. But to that end, then that mediator needed special requisites. And that is our second thought. The requisites of the mediator. And then we read in question 16, why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Thus then we have two questions. In the first place, why must the mediator between God and man? And we read in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 that there is only one mediator between God and man. Then in the first place, the question is asked, why must the mediator be man? And then the second question in that question, and also perfectly righteous. Then the mediator needed to be man, because the Lord, in his perfect justice, then he shall never punish an other nature than that is sinned. Thus it was necessary that the nature which would be punished could not be an angel, because an angel is a spirit, has no body, could not be an animal, because an animal has a body, boys and girls, you know it. An animal has not a soul, and we have sinned with body and with soul. Thus, in the first place, the same nature. In the second place, then the mediator needed to be man, because according to the promises in the Bible, he must be the seed of the woman, as was promised in the mother promise in Genesis 3 verse 15. He must be the seed of Abraham. He must be the seed of David. Thus that is the second point. He must fulfill the promises that he must be the seed of Adam. In the third place, to merit salvation, because it was the demand of the covenant of works to receive eternal life, that the law needed to be kept perfectly. And therefore the mediator, he must be man, and that he may obey the law perfectly for his people, and that that perfect obedience that may be imputed to the true children of God, and to that end that is that garment of righteousness, and to that end they receive a right to eternal life. In this fourth place, then the mediator needed to be very man, because it was necessary. The Lord has said unto our covenant head in Genesis 2, the verses 16 and 17, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that is a threefold death. That is spiritual death, temporal death, and eternal death. And to that end, for the mediator to satisfy divine justice, then he needed to suffer, and then he needed to die. And to that end, he had to be a real man. In the fifth place, then he needed to fulfill all the types in the Old Testament. And then we read concerning the kinsman that may redeem a property, and also concerning a widow, that it needed to be a near kinsman, and therefore the mediator needed to partake of flesh and blood. And then in the sixth place, then the church, they need a compassionate high priest. As I read in Hebrews 4, the verses 15 and 16, that he may be touched with our infirmities, tempted in all things as we are, a sin accepted, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Thus he needed to be very man. Is it now necessary for the church to learn these divine things? The Lord instructs his people. And what a privilege and what a blessing it is when the church becomes exercised with the necessity of a mediator, one that may lay his hands upon both. And when the child of God may be instructed in these divine mysteries, that is for their comfort and for their encouragement. Then we read, and also perfectly righteous. And the answer, because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin. And then concerning the second part of that question, and also perfectly righteous, and one who is himself a sinner, cannot satisfy for others. I think our children can understand it. If you have a man that has a great debt, let's say $10,000, and the bank requires payment, and if that man would now go to a friend that also had a great debt, not a penny to pay, then that man that had the debt, he could not help that man out. I think our boys and girls can understand it. And now with the mediator, one sin. Also, if the mediator had original sin, then that mediator would have to suffer and die for his own sins. And to that end, it is so clearly written in the scriptures, in Luke 1 verse 35 concerning his conception, that it was that holy thing that shall be born of thee, that he had no actual sins, and at the end of his life before his crucifixion, when he was on the cross, and also after the crucifixion, then there were six special testimonies that have testified that the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, was innocent. Maybe fathers and mothers and children on the way home, then you can think how many of those six that can come to your mind. Thus, in the first place, very man and righteous man. Now in question 17, why must he in one person be also very God? And then we read, answer, that he might by the power of his Godhead sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath. No mortal being can bear the wrath of God. We think of those things, congregation. And yet, if we go lost, we shall have to, shall be, because then corruption shall put on incorruption, and mortality shall put on immortality. And now the mediator, he must be very God, that he would be enabled to bear, to sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath. We have the example of the brazen altar of burnt offerings. That altar was made of shittim wood, and our children can understand it. If that altar was only of wood, and the wood was placed on top of it, and the fire always burned, then I think you know what would happen to that altar, boys and girls. What would happen? Then that altar would also be burnt up. And to that end, that altar was covered with brass, that shittim wood would not burn. And that is a beautiful type of the divine and the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then that divine nature, that he was enabled to sustain the burden of God's wrath, but further also, and might obtain for, that is the meriting of salvation in the state of a humiliation, that being divine, that in a short time, that he could sustain that wrath, and that he would merit the blessings for his church, that is righteousness and eternal life, but not only obtain for, but also restore to us. Thus that speaks of the application in the state of his exaltation, thus obtain and restore to us. And to that end, the mediator needed to be divine, that he may also rise again as king of the church, and that by word and spirit, that he may gather that church unto himself, that the church may be uncovered to their lost condition, to their need, to their sinnership, the need of that satisfaction. Oh, that King of kings and Lord of lords, he is that almighty King, And then there are no impossible cases, no heart too hard, too cold, too bold, and too old. Oh, when the king speaks, do we not read in Isaiah 43, verse 13, I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it? Oh, in verse 6, that those sons and daughters may come from afar. Oh, in churches there is still spoken of that meriting of salvation, but it is now the work of the king to work by his Spirit, to send forth his Spirit. And let us always remember, congregation, that the Lord works by word and by Spirit, and it is commanded in God's holy word to use the means faithfully, oh, begging the Lord for a blessing, that our heart may be opened. Ah, by nature, there is no room for that mediator, oh, for the trumpet of Jubilee, that was precious for those that were poor and that were needy, that was not so precious who were rich and increased with goods. And to that end, the necessity, that divine nature, that he might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. And what further? Then he must care for that church. He must protect that church, because that church that has a great warfare against that triple-headed enemy, but that risen king, he is that almighty king. And now it is necessary that he was truly righteous, very righteous, because otherwise the divine nature could never be united in unity of person with a sinful nature. Our third thought, the naming of the mediator, let us first sing. Psalter 124, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 8. My heart doth overflow, a goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King Divine. And what follows, Psalter 124, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 8. The glorious proclamation of the mediator. The mission of the mediator. The requisites of the mediator. And now thirdly, the naming of the mediator. And then in question 18 we read, who then is that mediator? Who is in one person both very God and a real righteous man? Oh, young and old, are there souls that need such a mediator in this evening? Are there souls that have a desire that they may hear more of that mediator? Oh, we read in the Song of Solomon in chapter 5 that the bride in a backslidden condition, but that she was restored. Oh, then in the night watches, then she was given to seek him whom her soul loved. And then she is even asked, those daughters of Jerusalem, those daughters of Jerusalem, they have gathered many a pearl. They are spoiled for the world. But those daughters of Jerusalem shall learn by the further uncovering of the Holy Spirit that with all the pearls which they have received from the Lord, that they cannot satisfy divine justice, that they still stand guilty before justice. And to that end we read of those daughters that they have asked the bride, what is thy beloved more than other beloveds? Those daughters had their beloved. And then the mouth of the bride went open, and so we may hear it in this Lord's day. Then the bride is testified to those daughters that he is white and that he is ruddy, that he is the chiefest among 10,000s. Oh, there the bride was given to declare that her bridegroom, that he was perfect, that he had no sin, but she was also given to testify that he was red. Oh, that points to his meritorial work in the saving of his church. Oh, then in this Lord's day, then it may be the trumpet for the Jubilee. Then it may be declared how the chiefest, the blackest, and the vilest of sinners that have sinned everything away, that have tried to save themselves, but a guilty sinner still. But in this Lord's day, then it is more of that mediator. For the child of God, then it is so necessary that they are further instructed concerning the mystery of salvation. And then the instructor, each time in our Heidelberg Catechism, then we are given to read that it is the desire of the instructors to exalt that only mediator as the way to the Father by the work of the Holy Spirit. Has it Peter and John not testified in Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then the instructors, then they are given to answer, our Lord Jesus Christ. No, then the instructors were not implying in that word our, that includes all people, no. But then when the instructors are given to speak of that word our, that was it with an enlarged heart, with a desire that all men may be saved, to become partakers of that meritorial work of the dear Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Three names, that Lord, that name Lord, that is further declared in Lord's Day 13, the name Jesus, for he has come to save his people from their sins. That is further explained in Lord's Day number 11. And the name of Christ, that means anointed, anointed to prophet, priest, and king, and that is further declared in Lord's Day number 12. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God, then the instructors are given to quote from 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, who of God, thus it is the mediator that has been appointed by God, already in the council of peace, and then he has given himself, is made unto us. And then four matters are mentioned, and they become so necessary and so precious for the living child. He has made unto us wisdom, and that is for a people that learn that they are so ignorant concerning heavenly ways. They need wisdom, they need light concerning the Lord's providence, but also the way that the Lord converts and leads his people. Oh, the blessed portion of a Mary, who we find each time, three times in the scriptures, we find her at the feet of Jesus. Wisdom, righteousness, that points to justification, the forgiveness of sins, where he has merited salvation, merited righteousness, and where it is applied in the state of his exaltation, righteousness and sanctification, that speaks of holiness. He has made unto that people, oh, what a lesson for the church to learn. Our works, they have no part in justification. If anything had to be added from God, from the child's side, the child of God, then it would be eternally lost. Oh, the church shall learn free and sovereign grace, and now to learn in the way of sanctification, that it flows forth from that precious mediator by the work of the Spirit and redemption. That means to buy back. Then the church is purchased. And then we read in the following verse, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, young and old. Has he become necessary? Has he become precious unto us? Because we cannot appear before the Lord without this mediator. And it is declared in the scriptures that he is so able and also a willing mediator. What precious invitations. What precious examples we have in the scriptures of sinners, poor and needy ones, that they have come and they have experienced his willingness, his power, his preciousness, our forethought, the gospel of the mediator. Whence knowest thou this? From the holy gospel. That word gospel, that means good news for poor sinners. The holy gospel, that includes the whole word, all of the word of God from Genesis to Revelations. Thus, by renewal, our instructors, first watchword of the Reformation, sola scriptura. Do you remember, boys and girls, what that means? Scripture alone. And to that end, each time by renewal in our Heidelberg Catechism, then in each Lord's Day there are many proof texts to prove what the instructors are saying, the sola scriptura, and then they have broadened it out, which God himself first revealed. That was the gospel trumpet that has already sounded in Genesis 3. After that Adam and Eve have taken of that forbidden fruit, arrayed before the judgment seat, examined, their mouth was closed, and then that mother promise was spoken to Satan in the presence of Adam and Eve, and there it was declared that seed of the woman that would conquer the seed of the serpent. And then through the Old Testament, then each time by renewal that gospel trumpet was sounded, became more clear, the golden thread of the genealogies of the different families. Oh, then in Genesis 12, then we read that that seed was promised to Abraham. We read of Jacob that he was chosen, of Judah on Jacob's deathbed. In Genesis 49, the verses 8 through 12, thou art that it was Judah whom the brethren would praise. Thus we read our answer, which God himself first revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs in the first four books of the Bible. Then that way of salvation, the gospel, pointing to the work of the mediator, that is signified in special ways. In Genesis 22, we have the sacrifice of Isaac on Mount Moriah, and then the ram that was that substitute. In Exodus 12, the institution of the Passover. Then I read in Exodus 12, verse 13, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It was not sufficient to be an Israelite congregation. Do we ever think about those things? Do we tell the Lord congregation, Lord, thou art so good and so merciful, so blessed and privileged above most of the people upon the face of the earth. We may hear law and gospel outwardly as so many blessings, but our Lord, to be an Israelite, that is not enough. I need to be converted by the grace of God. I need to be uncovered by the Spirit to become what I am. And that is a poor, a needy, an unworthy, a hell-worthy sinner. Ah, Lord, I need the same as those Israelites. In the last night they were in Egypt. I need that lamb. I need that precious blood placed upon my heart, because thou hast said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's what this Lord's Day speak of that precious mediator. In the book of Leviticus, that is the book of the sacrifices, all points as a type to this precious mediator. But then especially in Leviticus 16, we have mentioned the Day of Atonement, that Day of Atonement with those two goats that is vividly described in Leviticus 16, and then in Numbers 19, then we have that red heifer which must be burnt, and the ashes gathered and applied. And then further, the patriarchs, and prophets. Think especially of the prophet Isaiah, many times called, the evangelist of the Old Testament. Only read Isaiah 53, how clearly the mediator with his work is declared. And then further, and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, the Old Testament, the ceremonial worship, the tabernacle, the temple, the priesthood, the furniture, the sacrifices, the blood, the water, the ashes, it all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time. And then finally, and lastly, has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. We read in Galatians 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, and his name was called Jesus. This Lord's Day, first week of Advent, the gospel trumpet, that precious mediator, and in all the following Lord's Day, many following Lord's Day, then that precious mediator is declared in his riches, and young and old. What does it mean to us? So now we need for such a mediator, or no need, congregation. How shall it then be at the day of your death, when the judge shall appear, and we have no advocate and no mediator? Oh, search the scriptures and beg the Lord that he may convert you as he has converted all his people. Oh, to make room for that only name given under heaven. Oh, is there a people for whom he has become necessary, suitable, precious? May it be granted in this Advent season further exercises concerning the knowledge and the preciousness of the mediator between God and man. We read in John 1 that an Andrew, oh, he saw the Lamb of God, and he went to his brother Peter and said, we have found the Messiah. Then we read in that same chapter that Christ has found Philip, follow me. And then what has Philip done? Oh, his heart was so full. He went to look up Nathanael. Where was he, boys and girls? He was under that fig tree, busy with the things of the Lord. Oh, then a Philip was given to say, we have found the Messiah. That Nathanael, he needed much instruction. Can any good come out of Nazareth? And then Philip was a wise man. He said, come and see. So what this Lord's Day goes about, come and see. the preciousness of the mediator. We shall close with the question that Christ has asked the Pharisees in Matthew 22, after he has given the sum of the law to love God above all and our neighbor as ourself. Then he has asked the Pharisees, and may we all be given to take that question home and answer it honestly before an all-knowing God. What think ye of Christ? Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, who was able to declare the necessity, the suitability, and the preciousness of that precious mediator, we humbly ask thee, wilt thou be the after preacher, and may we be given to take that question home, what think ye of Christ? Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day, as yet given a few words to speak. Wilt thou bless it to the hearts of young and old? We may commence another week. Wilt thou remember the mothers in the home, the daytime, the night watches? Remember at work, at school, our young people who study in institutions of higher learning. Wilt thou remember on the way, remember all those that are called to work during the night watches. Remember all in the emergency departments caring for the sick and for the elderly. Lord, do bless the labors of our hands. Bless the official labors in this week. Wilt thou graciously guide, keep, and protect us, keep us from harm and danger, keep us from sin and temptation. May we be found more a praying and a begging people, O Lord. Do work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Wilt thou remember man and beast in the winter time? Wilt thou now bring us safely to our homes and forgive us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 247, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. And what follows, 247, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.